this time. Being shot on the big screen, though, so no one falls asleep. And we'll get to that in a minute. Where should I slip in the part about the committee that we need to form? Near the end, or?
Assignment.
Oh, yeah, just the items from SEC.
So I have to stay clear of that.
Did that on purpose for you.
So, Mr. Sumner, what would you like to say about school data?
Well, here, if we could just, I mean, go around the room, so on the recorder so we know who's here. There's a couple of things we want to start making some decisions on that aren't decided. I don't want you to ever feel like something is decided without a discussion to say, why are we spending it, what are we doing, how's it going forward. We want to be able to always have that discussion. So if we can just go around the room, so the recorder and anybody that wants to listen to our notes online knows who is here. I'm Scott Sumner, I'm the principal.
Laura Belknap. Colleen Green, assistant principal. Sharia Milano.
Mike Bearden.
Jennifer Batchelor.
Tammy Mickelson.
Lisa Earl.
Jody Murphy.
Lisa Larson.
Okay, if you open your binders up, one of the first part of the agenda is our school improvement plan. We gave you a copy of what our school improvement plan was last year. If you want to look at that, it's the yellow tab. There are some specific areas that we've looked at as a school to say, here's what we want to improve. I'll get it to you after. So on that yellow tab, there's Oak Canyon Junior High. This is something that we submit each year, but this is something that we want to come from the committee. So I want to go through our school improvement plan and also look at our data to say, what is it that are we hitting our goals? Are we addressing our current needs? Is there something else that you can see as parents, something else we need to start addressing as a school? It's aligned to our school goals that are found in our stakeholder report. So on the back of this one, we did our accreditation visit. Everything should be very, very uniform. I mean, where are our school mission, vision, values, and goals, our school improvement plan, and where we spend our trust funds money should all be meshed together. I mean, the money we spend should be driven on what the needs of the school are for both high-end for high student proficiency and low student proficiency. So you have to have that balance there. But on that yellow tab with the school improvement plan, we have student learning goal number one. Says goal. Oak Canyon School Improvement Plan is to decrease the average number of failing students by 5% each grade level. At the end of each term, that's our e-time. We're just starting to get tentative data now. The early stuff that we're looking at now without seeing all the changes that were made it's very similar to last year, maybe a little bit higher, but we're hovering around that 8% range right there for the entire school. We want to focus on 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, but it's that 9th grade, as Jody's husband, Theron, who's the principal over at PG High or Temple Oaks High School, we want to make sure that our kids are being sent to the high school, not behind in credit. That's always, boy, the numbers are staggering. If they go into the high school already behind in deficient credit, their chances of graduating are they decrease very rapidly. And so we want to make sure that we're addressing those needs here at the school, and that's with our flex time. We've been jumping into a lot of intervention-directed e-time. We explained last meeting where we tell students where to go if they have a failing grade, and we're just on the brink, and Sherry's in our e-time committee, where teachers that have students that keep coming to class but they're not doing anything, we're going to, I don't know if the official name is going to be this, but kind of an e-time plus. And so I would love to hear it.
I love to fail. It's positive. I love. You know.
The love is there. But we want to. It's those students that are. They're often referred to. I don't necessarily like the term, but intentional non-learners. We believe kids can learn and kids can become better. And so it's when they show up in your class and they're just like this. Try to teach me. You know, they just kind of. You know, they're there. But you can't get them to do much. You're really putting your efforts to help them out. We want to have kind of an e-time plus or a I love to fail group or whatever we decide to call it. where we take them and have a more directed e-time where it's more one-on-one with a administrator, counselor, or, and then you can include lunchtime for that, like a learning lunch. I don't know. We always want to keep this in the positive, so it's not a negative. It's a, we care so much about your grades that we're willing to do all these things for it. That includes parent contact and parent emails and parent visits, that kind of stuff too. So that's all with goal number one. Target the students. It's any student that has a failing grade, and the data, we keep that data. I really want to do that today, but our grades just aren't current yet. In our next meeting, definitely. So there's certain action steps with flex time. If you go to second goal, well, we can stick to those. Continue to modify, implement our school's flex time. We're always doing that. It seems like we're trying to find, it's like the safety net, you know, for the acrobats. We don't want any kids to drop. We want to be able to catch every single one of them in that net so they don't fail. I don't think it's, I want to say one day that we're not going to have any students fail, but we're working towards that, where all students have that ability, but boy, we're working hard to get to that point. Anybody can interject at this point, too. I will speed through this, but I don't want to speed over it too fast. Action step number two, the way we've directed students with our principals, this says to refine our principals academy times during each term. We're almost doing that daily now with our directed e-time with students with a failing grade. And so that's kind of changed and modified. Action three, every Monday we meet as an at-risk. We call them SST, student support team. But we do meet, if you have a student with a failing grade, you don't have to raise your hand, but if we sent an email, if you had a student with a failing grade, at least any time during a week, you would get an email from your counselor or administrator saying, hey, we're directing your e-time, your student's failing a grade, we're concerned, give us a call, we're happy to meet with you. And it's, the feedback we've gotten from parents is, thank you so much, I haven't had time to check. It's, you know, our lives are crazy because, you know, things are busy. And so I haven't had a chance to check, but yet that prompted them to start working with their students to get the grade up. And action step four, we're still talking about the guided studies class, which is something we pay for out of trust lands, money to fund a couple of guided studies classes for students that really need an extra time at school. We can put in a guided studies class.
Scott, I want to just ask, do we have data on guided studies and, you know, the students who are in the class and if they're passing their classes or if they're failing their classes, do we know if it helps?
We don't have great data from it. Other than we've identified the students that say, you know, through repeated efforts, it's hard because they might not all have failing grades. It's just that they need extra help for whatever reason. So I don't know, it was hard to pinpoint. We keep track of their GPAs and we keep track of their progress, but it doesn't show. It's not a real solid number we can nail down to say, yes, this is a dreamy situation.
This many passed and didn't fail, that kind of thing.
But do we know that it's helping? Is my question.
Yeah. Other than it, that's just what another intervention we've provided for students. We don't.
Oh.
Because I mean, but that's always been something we've been struggling with for six, 7 years to say how do we really identify that it's making a difference? Because if a student has 4 F's and now they only have 1, well, they're still identified as a failing student, but yet there's progress, but there's no way to really measure that in a pretty picture to say this has actually made a difference.
We can't look and see what their GPA was before and then their GPA after.
Yes and no, and we did have some of that data when we had a full-time person doing guided studies.
We turned that in every term.
But
we had that from our Sturgeon.
But the problem that we had, oh sorry.
Yeah, jump in.
The problem that we talked about with it was that students are in there for so many different kinds of reasons. You know, some are there because they've been sick. Some are there because a parent is not doing well and they're just not handling life. Others are in there because some of them are in there because they have a situation where they just don't pay attention for real reasons in the classroom. There's just a lot of reasons, and then when we group them together to say this many passed and this many didn't, it's kind of like, I don't know if that guides us to what to do next for each individual student. But it's been successful. The teachers have the handle what came first.
The other real problem I see with tracking the data is now that we don't have a running GPA and no way to get one, it's hard to look at just quarter grades and see, okay, this person came in at this point. I don't know what their GPA was, but at the end of the term, I don't know. It's hard. I really, really
we struggle.
Can't believe they haven't pushed that running GPA thing through the...
Skyward doesn't do anything.
There's no cumulative running GPA except cumulative finalized at each quarter. Mm-hmm. So you can pull kids out of S, but you can't pull kids under 2.0 or under some of the ways that we used to track.
Yeah. But I mean, it's interesting to say that because that has been a discussion many times. Is we had a bigger program where we had more and more classes, and I think we started to collapse it a lot just because we couldn't answer that and justify all the sections. You know, it was great for kids and they liked it and it was good for parents and it was everybody was having good experience, but to actually nail down, it's not like AP data where it's like 86% of our students passed the AP exam. There's nothing really concrete and we're open for suggestions if anybody can think of anything to kind of see, because like Colleen said, they're just in different reasons. It's not an open class that you just get into and ask to be unapproved from our counselors at admin meeting, but what's
approved. Okay. So you have a meeting to decide. You need to have that service. It's not like an election.
No. And there's only 40 slots per semester. So it's pretty small. Good question. So other action steps. That seems like it's... that's it. That's really our action plan is working with students that are at risk, that are failing. It's that high school credit, it's that confidence in school. And so that's our action plan, our school improvement plan for that we submit to Alpine School District that we talked about in this meeting. So it's really, by the end of the year, we want to have formulated a plan and say, this is what we're doing. We'll vote on it and say, this is where we want to go with it. Other areas we want to address, because that could be another area of guided studies is, how are we going to target and measure that type of progress? But those are the kind of questions we want to definitely be able to answer. Any questions so far about the action plan, the school improvement plan? Okay. If you jump to the school data tab, there's a couple pieces of data. If you still should have, if you have the stakeholder report, it shows a breakdown of our math, science, and language arts proficiency scores. It has all grade levels wrapped into one. We can break them up a little bit better, but that besides this sheet, you've got your first sheet is your F reduction because of E times. It shows the percentages. So quarter one last year, seventh grade, 6.8% of the students in 7th grade had a failing grade. In 8th grade, 7.6 had a failing grade, and in 9th grade, 8.1% for a total of 7.5% of our total student population had a failing grade. For all the grades possible, 1.8% were a failing grade. That's the goal we always shoot for. We want to stay under 10%. Of course, 0 would be the ideal target. It's hard to set a goal for that thing. We only want 5% of students to fail. We don't want any students to fail, but how to actually formulate what that means. We just want to have a reduction from the year before. That's what our main goal was with the student reduction of that. And like I said, the data looking coming in this year, it looks very similar to what it was last year, maybe even slightly higher with more students at the failing grade. But that's one piece of the data that we'll look for our action plan. If you look at the next page, it's our No Child Left Behind. There's a lot of this that's changing, but we're working with what we have and what we know. So, Oak Canyon, we met AYP, our annual yearly progress. Those are the federal guidelines. If you look at this first page, it gives you all the different categories. So it's all groups. There's two columns: participation. You got to have 95%, Pauline. 95% participation to meet that criteria. They do that so a school doesn't hide 50 of their kids that would bring them down. They have to test everybody. We would never do that here at Oak Canyon, but that's why they have the rule, because somebody somebody did, somewhere in the nation. Academic achievement means they met the goal. And so those two columns, we have one asterisk, which means we have to be, within the confidence interval that says we are making progress. The only asterisk we have is down in our limited English proficiency in language arts. So if you look at, if you want to know exactly what that means, if you jump down to the next sheet, the language arts goal for the state of Utah was 83% proficiency. Sorry, I can show you. The goal is 83% proficiency for the state of Utah, which means when your student or all of our students take the CRT score, they have to score at least an 83% to show that they're they are proficient. That's the goal, to score a 3. The CRTs are broken into 4 scores, a 1, a 2, a 3, or a 4. 3s are proficient, 4s are the top tier. 1s and 2s are not passing, 1's definitely the lowest. And so if you got an 83%, that would be a scale score of 3. And so to get that score, if you look at all of our students at Oak Canyon, there were 744 students that took the test. That represents 100%. I'm not sure why our... Why is it only 744?
Is it per year? Is that 7th grade or 8th grade or 9th grade?
We're missing a class on that one. Anyway, for the numbers that were represented, we had 744 students taking the test. It represented 100% of the students that we had to test. 94%, if you look at all students, our overall scores in 2011 were 94%. If you look just to the right of that, we were 92 the year before. And so we actually showed a 2% increase for overall all students here at the school. You go to the next column, we had 14. You got to have 40 students actually make the subgroup that count it officially for your group, for your school. But, just below the second number. It's our Asian population.
Oh, okay.
14 was our number. It's less than 40, but in 2011, 13 students took it, 100% passed it. The year before it was also 100%. You can see the African American, American Indian, Caucasian, our Hispanic students. When you start seeing some of these scores, we had, like with our Hispanic group, we had 46 take it in 2011 for an 87% proficiency. That means out of the 50, 46 of them were proficient. That was a 3% increase from the year before. Pacific Islander, we had 8. Our economically disadvantaged, that's based on free and reduced lunch, fee waivers, we had 172 students in that category. 160 were proficient for 84%, and again, it represents a 4% increase. This is all in language arts. Our students with disabilities, this is the one that's really a very huge increase, and something we're very proud of. Colleen works for our special education department here, and I know she works tirelessly to work with these teachers, and they are amazing folks. But 94 students that are categorized with a student with a disability, learning disability specific, 88 students took it, 73% were proficient, which means these are the students that struggle the most with language arts, and 73% of them were proficient. If you look at the year before, only 52% were proficient the year before. So that's a significant jump for the school that, you know, we're very, very proud of. And like we said, the only asterisk that we received is from our limited English proficiency because of that score of 67%. That was our one low area, and it represented a decrease from the year before. But we're still within the confidence interval of making progress and proficiency, but it's something that we're working with our teacher and teachers on to see if we can improve that score as well.
Also, that was a moving target because every year with our resource kids and our special ed kids and the kids in our units, they usually stay, we have them all 3 years. But with our language students, oftentimes when they come, they're at one level, and the next year, you just can't tell where they're going to move to each year. So some of them are doing very well who don't even speak English or get like straight A's in the class because they're working so hard. But
yeah.
Some interesting ways.
Our next subject is math. Those are only the two subjects on the AYP report, math and language arts. Science gets reported in the newspapers, you get to see them, but they're not recorded on AYP. So in math, the goal was 45%. Our state chose not to increase the goal for this year. I don't know exactly why, but 45% was the the overall goal for the state that 45% of your students had to be proficient in the scores. Out of 656 students taking it, at 100% taking it, we slightly declined by 92 to 91%. That's still amazing. When you look at, this is probably a little more telling, but our math proficiency, if you look at our schools, and even our language arts, when you look at Oak Canyon compared to other schools, these are our sister schools. We're not, you know, being critical of them other than we're just saying, here's the facts of where we're at. We were 90%. I'm not sure what the disparity was there. But we were 90%, whereas the rest of the district was 76% in Alpine School District for junior highs in math proficiency. The state of Utah is 68%. And in language arts, the same way, we're 91. They were, you know, district's 86 and the state's 81. So, I mean, you guys see the newspaper. There's been a lot of discussion about math programs and what math and what kind of math should we do, and, you know, our elementary did this 10 years ago or whatever. I just, you know, and this can come from this committee to any discussion that you have with neighbors or in the community, but you're in good hands here at Oak Canyon. I mean, it's the work that's happening in our language arts and our math department. Our students are reaching proficiency and also having success in math. And I put it back on the teachers. They're doing amazing work in all areas. I mean, they work hard. I think they care a lot about the kids here at Oak Canyon. If you go through each of these, it goes to the same type of conversation that we did with the language arts. But again, if you jump down to our special ed scores, we still saw that huge jump from 46% to 65%. Then I don't know. Those are just some of the pieces of data that we've talked about. What questions do you have about data? How we score? Ideas that you have that you want to see improved? Conversations you had? Anything? These are the times that we want to start. I mean, we don't have to make a final decision and vote on the improvement plan now, but we definitely want to start taking some notes and saying, I'd like to see data, like data for the guided studies class. That's something we need to write down and have a conversation about and make sure it's something worthwhile that we're paying for from trust money. But are there other areas that you want to look at, or you want to know where our students score in comparison, goals that we want to set? Yeah, first year being gifted and talented, we'll definitely have a different set of data from our gifted and talented classes. Something we're going to start tracking our honors classes too, where we haven't in the past. It's all been lumped into one, but to show where the differences are.
I have a question about that. As we gather that data, it would seem to me that there would be an overall rise as our students, I mean, like, our gifted and talented, or even our kids who are doing really well in the school, when they take the class of challenges and they begin to do better, isn't that going to help everything rise a little bit? I mean, their scores go up a little bit. I don't know.
We would see a difference between proficiency. Yeah, that's one of the data points we can make is if you were to think of just a block of data. Being proficient, well, if this is the state average or this is the bare minimum to be proficient, if we're right here, we want to be proficient. But if we want to show progress, it means if a student comes in from elementary school with a scoring 4, well, they're already proficient. So, yes, hopefully they stay proficient. If they don't, we're in trouble. But the proficiency remains, but we want to take them to the next step so they show progress too. So that's a good point of data to show with that. I think with our guided studies, if it is even a term GPA to say what it was that last year that got you in here, I don't know, but I'd like some ideas there, you know, of what we can do with a guided studies data. But with proficiency and progress where it gets been counted, our AP and honors, all of those different scores, it should it'd be interesting just to track it those ways. What about concerns you have for, I mean, high-end, when I'm talking high-proficient students, also special ed students. Is there anything you're concerned with, or, you know, it's come up in conversation, something you'd like to look at? Is there data missing that you'd like to see that we can share in this meeting? Because I love to have, where you guys' names are on our website, hopefully you guys get emails of people talking and say, hey, you're in that SEC group. What's the deal with that school over there? I don't know. It's just a chance for you guys to talk it through with people.
Why don't you educate me a little bit on what you do for your gifted and talented and your honors, et cetera. I'm not sure of the different groups that you have and what you're...
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a good goal for this school, because it is, it's not necessarily an at-risk school, something that does something for with the higher achieving kids.
Okay. Yeah, we have, do you want to ask this in mind? Because I've been talking the whole time.
Sure. Do you want me to give my jaded viewpoint on it? Or?
No, let me do it.
So, we this year adopted, based on recommendations from our district, the Gifted and Talented program, where we have resisted in the past. And we have Gifted and Talented in English and History in both the 7th and 8th grade.
But you get into, according to testing, you have to qualify for it.
And does that have a different name or anything? You know, before they were honors classes, what are they?
They call them the Academy classes, but or ACAD. They are the Gifted and Talented program. So now it has to be a Gifted and Talented endorsed teacher teaching it, and they have to test to get in. And they go to sites within the district to take the test. It's a program, so once they test in, they're in for both 7th and 8th grade. If they didn't do it in 7th but want to test in to go into 8th, they can. But once they're in 7th, they automatically move on in 8th, much like in the elementary schools.
Is it one period?
One period of each. And we considered doing more than one period, but we, for instance, in the 7th grade, incoming 7th graders, we only had about 30 who qualified.
And we took the
cutoff scores way down and still only had about 30, just because not enough tested. Now, we have some theories on that. I think in the year where the PUSH program was dissolved, I believe a lot of the parents and or students within our patronage thought that this was something different that existed maybe side by side, and didn't realize this was the PUSH program was going away and this was going to be the honors or
so the honors is the ACAD, and they're not separate. They're the same thing, right?
No. You don't have the honors classes anymore.
There's right. No honors in 7th and 8th grade.
We haven't had any official 7th or 8th grade honors class for years. However, we did try and kind of... I hate that recording thing.
We were creative in our coding.
And we were actually encouraged by an assistant superintendent who has since retired. He came into the school and said, "What are you doing to compete with the charter schools and the things that they have extra?" And we had some talk about it, and he even said, "Well, why don't you offer something like honors in the 7th and 8th? And he said, "Well, we used to, but the district made us take them away. Isn't that you?" "Oh, well, why don't you just call them something different?" So we call them honors prep. So preparing to go into honors. Because honors is strictly a high school thing.
So
we still have honors in 9th grade.
But are they still called honors prep?
No.
They're the
ACAD or gifted and talented class.
Only in the 7th and 8th grade is the academy or ACAD classes. In the 9th grade, you have straight honors in English, biology, world civilization.
So will that stay that way in ninth grade?
Yes.
Okay.
High school is a complete different set of rules, which ninth grade follows.
And then we also have the AP geography as well in the ninth grade, so students can take those. So in the ninth grade, there definitely is a lot of classes you can take that are the advanced honors classes. But in seventh and eighth grade, depending on your skill, I mean, your interests, we have advanced languages that you can jump into. We've had some immersion kids that jump into our Spanish programs. We didn't have an art program for this year that was the Young Masters, but we are going to have it for second semester, and so there's something there for art. So in all the subjects, it seems like there's an advanced class for just about everything. Band, there's that. Advanced classes, there's choir, advanced classes, orchestra, the languages. What am I missing, guys? But it seems like we try to cater to everybody to get their interest in what they want, to stretch themselves and become, you know, build on their talents and skill set. So, does that help? Okay. So, I mean, for 7th and 8th grade, it's just the academy for English and social studies. But 8th and 9th grade is the different animal with honors and AP. Good question.
By the way, we also added students to the academy program on a limited basis based on test scores and teacher recommendation after approval from the district on that, because when our class averages are quite large in our school, and to have an extra class that was so small, we really felt like we needed to add some students, and so we added some who did not actually test.
And Young Masters is the same thing. I've had questions, why didn't you offer it first semester? Well, Young Masters, because it's a year-long class, if you're in ninth grade, oftentimes those kids taking Young Masters are also taking a jazz band, and they're taking a choir or a language, which is a full year, plus taking honors biology, so their schedule is, you know, pretty, very, very tight. And so for an entire year for an art class, it wasn't possible for many kids. So that class ended up being 11, 12 kids. But offering it a semester, that opened up for a ton of students that were able to, enable and wanting to take that class, that gave them the chance to build on their art skills and learn from the teachers here. So that was part of the philosophy going into Young Masters this year. It changed just because of need. I don't know if you've looked at the website, but I want to bring this up in this meeting because it's not my fault. I'm blaming Mike, but we have three openings right now, which is really strange for a junior high to have, or any school to have openings, especially full-time. We have our PE opening that's full-time for the rest of the school year, and that's because Alex Gould he's the guy at fault for writing the grant for the district for almost $800,000. And so since he was part of that, yeah, they want him back over at the district to be able to work with that grant and be able to implement the goals and such there. He worked there 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and so they want him back. And I've been trying to hold on to him for as long as I can, and they said we're going to take him whether you like it or not. So we lose Alex, and Alex is an amazing, amazing PE teacher. We also are losing Sue Jones. She's one of our English teachers, and I know it's crushing.
I know.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
My goodness. Sue is retiring, and we're so happy for her, but we're so sad for us.
But she's not leaving till the end of the year, or she's leaving
December. Last day of December.
Yeah.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She'll have her years.
Right. And so we are replacing that position as well, and then I guess it's official now with.
You can't take it anymore.
We have a counselor opening as well.
Is it you?
No, Mike.
No. Who's leaving?
Dr. Bittner. And so all personal choices, all different things that way. There's nothing weird. I mean, we look mid-year. I mean, these are great quality folks. It just happens to be three in 1 year. I've never had one, let alone three, and it's just keeps compounding. And plus, we're going to be hiring our one art teacher to fill in that extra gap for our Young Masters. So don't be alarmed. That's just kind of a weird planet to line the right way for some reason, and that's where we're at with that. So if you see the website that way, that's why. Anything else with school improvement, school data, goals, ideas that we want to look at? If you do and something comes up, or you have a neighbor discussion or something that you can think of, email me, email Mike, and we'll bring it on the agenda for next time. Again, we're not voting on anything yet. We're just kind of building our case for what our school improvement plan and what our trust lines money is going to be in the future. So we're all kind of looking at those needs. One of the discussions I want to bring to the table probably next time is, in fact, who's responsible for this? Talking about having ACT prep, class during e-time, just something to advance students that want to do it during e-time. But that's something I want to talk about to see if we can fund a program like that for students that want to volunteer to jump in for an ACT prep.
So who do you pull in to teach that? Is it one of your teachers that just says, I'll do it? Or?
We don't know. It's just something we want to explore.
Like a class, not just e-time, but couldn't that be like an elective class?
Could.
If the numbers are there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
those are what we have to do.
I honestly don't think we'd carry that as a class just because everybody is spread so thin already. And
you could have low numbers. You could.
Yeah. Well, we want to explore options and see, because that's something that would address some of the needs we have in the school. So.
Well, it may not sound like we need an ACT prep class, but my son, he took AP Biology at Timpanogos last year as a 10th grader, and he had to take ACT Chemistry out of 9th grade here to have a competent score to allow him to take it. And so for those who are doing that, it would be really beneficial. So to have something.
From kids that I had great test takers and really struggling test takers, I would tell my struggling ones, like, you have to learn how to manipulate tests. You don't let tests manipulate you. There's a lot of mental games that there's strategies that can be used that can help these ones that struggle, that, you know, to you at all, but, you know.
The ACT prep class wouldn't solve that particular issue, unfortunately. I've been in discussion with the high school coordinators for the concurrent enrollment, though, because they want some sort of test to get in for them to get into those classes. We used to offer the plan test, which was a practice ACT test. It's normed for 10th graders. We were offering it early. The high schools didn't like us doing it because they thought it stole some of their, I don't know how to even word it now that I realize the high school principal's wife.
It's okay. I say lots of mean things to him. Yeah.
It was really the kind of the counseling officer going, why do you give the plan? They should be doing that when they're in 10th grade. I said, they can do it again.
But you know what? But they weren't doing that before her husband got there.
Right.
We had to do it here.
Right. Anyway, I didn't want to go there.
Let the record state.
They came up with a new test, though, and we kept going with the plan for a couple of years because we were used to that, used to the name, people knew we were doing it. Well, they came up with a test called the Explore, which is a step back from the plan, and it's normed totally for 9th graders. So we decided to do the Explore, which is still an ACT prep, but when we present the scores back to the students, we say, this is how you compared to the students across the country took it, and they're all 9th graders instead of being compared to 10th graders who had one more year. So we start getting calls from a lot of parents saying, they told me at the high school that you gave the plan last year, I need the scores. And, well, you don't do the plan anymore, you do the Explore, number one. Number two, it's completely voluntary, and so not everybody did it. They were getting a little bit of misinformation, thinking every student here took the test. So I'm trying to get them to accept the Explore rather than just the plan, because it's virtually the same thing, only normed differently. But so far they're resistant to that. And we just gave the Explore this week. We had 45 students take it. So not everybody who's going to end up at the high school is going to have a score, because it's voluntary to take it here. So, anyway.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from. That was a long story.
Well, can I ask a question about that Explorer? So are the test questions, are they geared to just mainly up through ninth grade, or do they test beyond that?
I specifically asked some of the students who took the test today specifically about math. I asked them how far it went, whether they felt it went any place beyond geometry, and we had Algebra 2 students in taking the test, and they said it didn't go into Algebra 2 at all. So I believe they've just stepped it back a little bit, so it doesn't go quite as advanced. And I don't know how they came up with exactly the cutoffs and things on what they test. It's a little bit shorter than the plan, and the plan's shorter than the ACT time-wise and number of questions-wise. This one has four 30-minute tests. On the plan, one of them's 40 minutes. And anyway, I can't even remember exactly, but it's a little shorter time-wise and number.
So it's basically practice testing. And
it's
if
a practice
they do well on that, you can't say, oh, they did well, so I know they're going to do well on the ACT. Right?
Well, no, this should give them some indication the way it's set up. They'll get a numeric score just like the plan or the ACT, and they get a percentile ranking, which to me is more telling than just the numeric score. If the percentile ranking says you're in the 90th percentile of all the ninth graders across the country took this, I mean, that's the top 10% of everybody who took it, whether it's a 21 or a 31 score.
So it is compared to all the kids across the nation?
Yes, yeah. And when they get the scores back, we go through it with them and tell them their percentile and talk to them about how to use it. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, one of the great things about this test, either the plan or the Explorer, beyond some of the other, you can actually, the new Utah Futures program has some free, like, ACT practice tests. They're old versions of the test you can go on and take. But this one, when they score it, they send back the score sheet. It's quite a lengthy document, and if they missed a question, they give them the right answer, and then I give them back their test booklet so they can look up and see what they missed and why, which is a huge benefit. Did you want to take that?
But I think if we were to add that to the agenda next time, and that can be something when we look at the actual trust fund budget and we talk about it, that's something we can vote on and when we do a vote at the school committee council to put that on. So
there are a few schools who they invest a little money into this test and give it to the whole school.
The Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Would that be beneficial to our school to know how we are preparing students for that kind of thing, or is it just a personal benefit?
They give some, you can request all kinds of data. In fact, they send a data DVD. It's got so much data, it's beyond even a CD. But I kind of think that there are a whole bunch of students who probably, I don't think we need to give it to all the students. I don't think we would benefit all of the students by doing that.
That's such a cost. Right?
Yeah, it costs $9 for each one that we have scored. It's $9. Actually, there's a price break for the number. The larger the number, the less it costs per. But we charge the students to take it. They pay the $9 to take it.
So. Watch the video. Or should we save it for the next time? And you can jump to the assignment since we're TikToking.
I'm all for saving it for next time.
Should we vote? This will be our first official vote. Should we wait for Mike to see it? Anybody opposed to putting off the video to next time? All in favor?
Hi.
Okay. Let's just jump to the next slide.
So do you want to not talk about trust lands at all then?
Yeah, I think we bring that
can
up.
Can I ask one question about trust lands that I don't know the answer to? Can you use trust lands funds to lower class size? If you want it as a...
Yeah, by adding a feature?
Yeah. Well, we always
as frightening as it is, the prospect of losing any more FTEs going into next year, I just wondered if, I know we can pick up a seventh here and there and things like that, but
well,
whether we could actually hire a teacher with that money was my question. Mm-hmm. No?
No, because it's...
You can only do
seven. Yeah, okay. It's limited to the
which
seventh.
Does that?
And how I understand it is it's one FTE is, we have a budget here at the school that says, okay, Scott, here's your FTE allotment, and this is what we're giving you, but you have, this is how many teachers you can hire. Well, if they give me 40 FTEs, well, I can hire 80 teachers at half time, or I can hire 40 teachers full time, or a combination between for the balance of 40. if they give me 40 and I go 41, they won't let me do that. I have to get special permission to do that, but if I do, the total cost of an FTE is $40,000+ plus benefits, and there's not enough in a trust fund account to be able to do that. If you were to hire like this art teacher we're doing, if we wanted to hire that to take a period, we could do that, an hourly teacher to do this or that, or a seventh of a teacher. So there is some element there that's savings, and in some sense we're already doing that with the luxury of being able to pay for the seventh of our reading teacher, our AP teacher. It does put a savings there where we can hire, like we have an hourly teacher in history right now. It's not specifically earmarked to say this is going to go here, but the savings are created because of trust fund money. So in an indirect way, it does.
Right. I realize that, but I'm just thinking more in the direct way.
I have one thing before you get to your thing.
I don't have any. I don't.
Your committee.
Oh, that. Yes.
Next week, O'Cannon is doing a very large service project. And it is our student council. They are, what an amazing group of kids. They've come up with, our PTSA last year gave the school a good chunk of money to put towards a service-related project. And our student council's put together a whole week's worth of service where we're going to measure what students are doing. They're going to have about five or six different activities during e-time. We're not going to force anybody. We don't want to have a captive audience to say, you will do service whether you like or not. It's during e-time, and if they have passing grades, they can choose to come in and do the service. Or they can choose to go to the classes for academic reasons. But if they come in, we're going to have, like, make blankets. We're going to have a food donation. They're making scarves. They're sending letters to our servicemen and women. They're making placemats for a retirement home. Cards for juvenile justice systems, so the individuals involved with that, they can write thank you letters or welcome or hi mom and dad or aunt and uncle or whatever particular holidays. So there's about six, seven different opportunities of service. I just want to invite anybody from school community council if you want to come join in. Any e-time next week, Tuesday through Friday, we're going to have
remind us the time?
10:30 to 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we've got PTSA involved. Linden City is involved. Our police, our school resource officer is going to be doing some stuff with us. Love to have you there. You don't have to make any special arrangements. Just show up to the office and we'll find a spot for you to help out with kids and be part of that participation. We want to put everything together. And thanks, Sheree.
Sorry.
We want to do a big display. Thanks, Sheree. We want to do a big display the next week, that Monday, where we put all the food, the scarves, the letters, everything on display, kind of roped off. And then for every hour of service the student gives, we're going to give them a brick, a paper brick, that we're going to put a big bridge to show how much service was donated. And this is one we're going to call the media and just say, come check it out, and then have our student council interviewed. And our student council advisor, Chelsea Collins, just, I can't say enough, just great opportunity.
Which, by the way, he alluded to just briefly at the end, which I didn't hear him say at the beginning, but maybe I wasn't listening. In the middle of all this, we're also still doing a canned food drive.
Yes. Part of the service.
One of the things they're doing is decorating boxes that they give to the food bank that is actually the box that the people take their holiday meal home in, that sort of thing. So, and there are so many food drives going on, we could not get any barrels, by the way, unless they have some turned in. Try to get barrels.
Make it down, that's what you're saying.
Right. We're looking at filling the principal's office with food. We did that a few years ago, and it was a lot of fun. The kids really
liked it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Smelled weird for a while.
I came into my office one day, and some assistant principal had stacked all the ramen noodles on my desk. They were covering my whole desk all the way to the ceiling. There was no break between the noodles and the ceiling, and the ceilings were pretty high.
Good times. But you're welcome to come. We'd love to invite you, and we'll give you a service brick so you can add to the community part of our reserve. So we might have one more thing.
I attended a training on Halloween Day at the district with Paul Olson, who's the administrator over the junior highs now at the district. And it was an internet safety, an introduction to an internet safety curriculum that the company Adobe is sponsoring for the Orem schools, which we fall into because we have Orem. I don't know why they just chose Orem, but it's just us and North in our district. They're sponsoring, paying for this training, and this is intended to be a committee of adults, parents, teachers, administrators, who set policy and talk about ways to react to certain things that might happen within the school. This is not a curriculum for students. We have NetSmart and some other things within the community that can come in and do that for our students. And we actually had them come to our counseling department advisory committee and present to our committee a couple of weeks ago their program. And we're looking at doing that, doing assemblies for our students and presenting that program. But this specifically is supposed to be set up a committee within our school assigned to make policy, talk about ways to react to things, and react to things that happen, because I mean, they talked about technology and the way it's constantly changing and the potential for things happening at school beyond what I even had thought of in my thoughts. But so we need a committee of folks to go to a training on the 29th of November, and this is a voluntary thing for everybody but me.
A committee of just
and
community. It doesn't have to be teachers. Is that what you're saying?
We would like. We will have a couple of teachers on it, but we would like more. We thought this was an ideal pool of people to take to be on this committee. Ms. Batchelor has agreed to be on it. She's on the front lines of this with a bunch of computers, accessible internet accessible computers in the library, where there is not a teacher over their shoulder or somebody watching the program on the computer, where on one computer you can watch everything that's going on all of the computers within the writing lab. So this is a hot spot that she's...
And also the new Language Arts Common Core requires a lot more online collaborative assignments, so I think we'll see our kids online more, so it's kind of nice to plan ahead, think through what are some of the potential problems.
And the world has gone our world has gone totally online. A student can't access Skyward within the building unless they have internet permission, because it's on the internet.
Do you know when
the
timer
is? Yes, it's from, and I hope this isn't true, but I was told 8 until 4.
Oh, wow.
On that day, in the boardroom, room 210 at the district office. So these guys are all writing it down. Am I taking it that you guys are all going to come, so you're all part of the committee?
How many are you needing?
Like, how many people do they think?
They said actually 6 to 8 people, but that
68
might be
68 people?
Yeah, 68. 6 to 8. Oh. That's 628. That's 6 to 8.
What day of the week is this?
It's a Tuesday.
So we're going to be trained, and then what day was it when we're trained?
We meet as a committee and discuss ways to.
Did you make policy in your own school?
Yes.
Right. We just want to be adjusting appropriately to. We have policies already in our handbook, but we want to adjust appropriately to what's coming up.
They gave examples as graphic as you find a picture of somebody's genitals on a phone. What do you do? They don't want one teacher to erase it. Or, I mean, there needs to be a policy, okay, you turn it over to the principal.
Right.
So the teachers don't have to decide in each instance. They want us to think of, I don't know. I don't know. We'll hear about it in the training more about it. But.
Well, I have to look at the dates that I can try to go. I mean, I don't think I am.
And, I don't know, all days is a tough commitment, but if you need to be part of it, we can update a different thing.
Maybe I could split a day with somebody. Do you have to be there the whole time, or can I split with another parent?
It's hard because kids get out of school.
Let us get some more information, but if you're willing to at least be part of it, let's see if we can do that.
I would, boy, if you couldn't come to all of it, but you could come to some of it, I think we'd love to have you on our committee.
Did you say you will be there?
I will be there.
He gets to be there.
He volunteered.
Okay. I think it's exciting.
I already told him at the meeting why Mr. Sumner decided not to go. It's because he wore jeans that day and he didn't want to see him.
There are just so many issues that keep coming up. You let kids look at Kindle books in a building if they can then access an Amazon catalog. There's a lot of racy. You know, there's just all these issues that we don't think through.
And we have wireless throughout the building, and you can get it within a certain distance of the school. I'd say all these homes can get it. But it's funny because if you ask, like, to put your personal iPad on the network, well, technically technology is not going to give you that code, but yet you can just go ask the students because they all know it.
They all do.
They all know.
Somebody's like, how did you get on the internet? I was at a volleyball game and
There's websites out there that kids have made, just the revolving code, so everybody, if the district changes it, before they can even set it up, they don't even know how it's getting out, but it's getting out to students, and they have it. So everybody at these phones.
You know, and they also pointed out that the day after Christmas break, it's likely that we'll have 1,000 new electronic devices trying to access our internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the hacking and the things that, our district tries to keep up with filters and things, but there always seems to be new ways to get around it.
And it's
going to
get worse.
Yeah.
I think
the biggest thing we want to do here is, one of our jobs is to make sure kids are safe at school. And that means what they're able to access, what they're viewing, what they're doing. We want to keep an educationally sound environment where students can be successful, they learn, they grow, they're better prepared to take the next step of life in education. But along the way, that's why we really push anti-bullying. That's why we really push, you know, we're zero tolerance for bullying, for drugs, for alcohol, for all that kind of stuff. The internet safety is just one of those things that we do have policies in place. I mean, we can show you what we do have, but yet it's not addressing everything specifically that's coming out, nor will it. That's why we want to have. You know, I think SEC is that perfect committee to be able to talk about.
It's changing every day, it seems like. Every month, and it's becoming more and more needed in life for living.
And this goes beyond just, for instance, porn on the internet or on a phone or something. They're talking about how to react to cyberbullying,
mm-hmm.
to things like that, too, that are happening, you know, at home, outside of school, but it spills into school. Oh, your big sister said something about me on Facebook. And I mean, just.
Yeah.
You can count me in. I might have to leave a little early or either a little late to get my kids off.
Are you with you? 4 o'clock. By the way, it's important enough that this has come down from our administration of the district saying we want everyone to do this. It's not. You guys are welcome to do this. You need to have a committee there.
So where are they meeting at in the
boardroom? So upstairs
in the main building,
not over in the PDC.
How are they going to fit that many people for the whole district?
This particular one is only the junior highs as well.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Olson is spearheading this and for the junior highs.
This is just us.
And so there were like five of us.
Okay.
Five or six schools.
Okay, well, so we all have to get our kids to school first, but then we would be coming.
That'll certainly be.
We'll send an email reminder out just to let everybody know and just remind if you're available.
Okay, so Mrs. Murphy and
Lisa.
You're all Mrs. to me. Anyone else?
I have a doctor's appointment with one of my children at 7 a.m. in Salt Lake that morning, so I don't usually get home until about 9:30. It's just lovely.
I'm going to ask you.
Are you asking for me to join?
Yes.
I'd be happy to.
Well, then, you're going to travel there.
I can only do it if you swap me for a 3-year-old special needs child and all of his appointments that day.
Yeah, you're out.
You're out.
So, are you a parent or a teacher?
Parent.
Okay.
And, should we put Sheree's name on here since she left early?
Travel teacher.
And Mike Travis's name should be on there.
Yeah. There you go. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people.
Margie would probably think it's
fine. Oh, yeah.
Margie?
No, I'm going to send one to the PTA, so.
Okay. What is the date of our next meeting?
It's in January.
Yeah.
The 11th.
Kind of need to dedicate that one to Charleston.
Yeah, for sure.
No, because we only have a short period of time to get it written. Or when's that due by?
April 8th. So if we write it in January, then we have one more meeting, we can all sign off on it.
So by that time, if you want to think of other ideas with the data you got from your binder, other ideas of what our critical needs are, in addition to what we've already have, if we want other things, if we want to continue, if we want to look at the ACT prep, that'll be on the agenda next time. And then
mostly a big portion the trust lines money, right?
Right.
We need to dedicate.
By then we'll probably know how much we have.
Right. Yeah.
It seems like you guys are in the position to know what would be useful with the ELL kit. If that's the area where we're not performing, I don't really know what the options are to help those kids.
Yeah,
so that's something we can explore if there's some money we can put towards something to help those students.
So before then, will you have current data on how we did? Maybe you could email it out to us so we can look at it and come a little prepared and sort of stuff.
Which data?
Well, just any data on how the programs are working, you know, I know we can't do guided studies very well, but the other one, if it's more current, I don't know if we have it, because this is for next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have anything for like this term or whatever.
Yeah.
We can go into more detail about what we actually spend it on, too, which we kind of did a little bit
last time,
but...
Well, you actually brought up a great point, because one of the things with the new School Community Council guidelines is we have to disclose publicly how we spent the money and some of the results we have. So we will be putting some of that stuff together with, like, the RE-180, Paul Andrus. He has great data to show the steps from there, our AP stuff. I mean, there's good data to show how much usage for my access and 18. So that needs to be disclosed anyway in our stakeholder report, our new one coming out. So simultaneously, we'll send it to trust our SEC group to be able to look at for January. I'll work on that over Christmas break. How's that?
That's all done except for.
Yeah.
That's totally done except for Galactus. We have a comparison from last year, 2010 to 2011 in May.
Of like first scores to second scores, improvements.
If we have data to look at, then we can at least become a little more prepared to not spend so much time going through.
So what you're saying is that Mr. Sumner.
No, I don't mind that.
No.
Mike, you know, on the 8th grade ACAD classes, will they be testing through the district again, or is it through the school? That's the reason my son didn't even take the 7th grade test, is it was on a Saturday, and he was a 6th grader. And to give up half a Saturday was killer at the time, and I wasn't even going to make him do it.
There are two remaining.
So I'm
dates,
just wondering if that's why they didn't get a lot of people testing, because those little 6th graders, to give up half their Saturdays is huge. Oh, was it really? So I'm wondering.
But those are students from all over.
Yeah,
will the 8th grade, the kids that are going into 8th grade, will they also do the same test, or will it be a school thing?
No, it's district.
It's a district thing.
And there are two dates left, and one of them's this Saturday.
To test.
I have a poster right up
for 8th grade?
Yes.
It's happening right now.
Oh, great.
It's going
I guess
on.
I need to know about that. Huh?
Come on.
It's what?
Sounds like they're Saturdays, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
And we gave flyers out to our 7th grade English teachers to...
Okay.
Didn't send one to all of the parents because a lot of it is really going to be ongoing from when they test in as incoming 7th graders, then they stay in the program, and that will be our pool.
I would like him to do
those
it
who
want to
jump in, come out here and look at the dates and the places.
Okay.
This is like a big version of the flyer that
okay.
I don't have that little flyer, but you can look at
okay.
I get all in the way. Okay. Are we adjourned?
To the chair.
Do you need to vote or something?
Mm-hmm.
Who votes?
There you go.
Ready?
Free. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Thanks, everybody.
Mr. Anderson, don't call me.